Psalm 34 this morning, verses 4 and 5. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. You know, David asserts here in the verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord. And the Hebrew word verb, it's a verb, it's an action, it's something he was doing. This verb says to ask of or to inquire of the Lord. And he continues and he says, and he answered me. The verb literally means here again that God actively responded or heard him. And this incredible encounter or conversation and reaction of God is really in all of our lives. We can go before God and we can seek God and we can inquire of God and we can ask God for things that are going on in our lives and for things that are ahead of us. And God literally hears our prayer. God hears us when we seek him and he responds. And we have to be willing to understand that God's will is being worked out in our lives. And he responds in different ways and not always the way we think he should respond. But God is working. God does hear us. And God responds in kind. You know, God answers David in this case in an action. And David says it. He says, he delivered me from all my fear. You see, the key here is that David, in seeking God, you know, when he sought God and he brought his concern before God and his challenges and his trials before God, that God responded likewise to deliver him personally, inside, internally, from his fear. And literally, if David is being freed from his fear, then God truly is encountering those enemies in his life that are out to kill him and destroy him. You see, a lot of us in our lives, we do have these anxieties and these fears and things that go on in our life, and we can become anxious and we can be overwhelmed and overcome at times by the pressures that we face. But as we seek the Lord, the beauty of it is we begin to encounter God in his presence. And as we draw near, he draws near to us. And the first thing that always seems to take place is that our inner spirit is fortified. And we become filled with peace and confidence, and we begin to trust in God. It is just something that takes place in us as we seek God. It is the most beautiful thing. And it doesn't mean that the outside pressure or the things we're going through have been dealt with immediately in our eyes. We might still be walking those things through. But the peace and the strength that comes to us inside as we realize that the battle, really, literally, God is saying the battle is mine. And he's with us and he's partnering with us in our life. I love that God never says to us, you know, seek me, but seek me in vain. Because God is always willing for those who seek him to have things worked out in their life. And we don't do it in vain. You know, in this same Psalm 34, there's three other verses spread out that sort of give us that assurance. In verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And in verse 22, it says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Aren't those amazing words? You know, the Lord, his eyes are towards us, and his ears, or his eyes are open to our cry, and his ears hear us. The Lord is near. The Lord is near, and he saves. And the Lord redeems, and those who take refuge in him are not condemned. In other words, God is open to our cries, and God is working in our lives. Matthew 11, I love Jesus' words in verse 28-30. Come to me. You know, that's pretty simple, right? And that really is the key. That's the answer for us, is when we are, our you know, hardship has come, or we're being oppressed, or we don't know what to do in a situation, or there's just seems like everything's sort of crushing in on us or against us. It's so simple. Jesus just says, come to me. Come to me. Isn't that sound simple? Sometimes it doesn't seem that simple, but it's truly the answer. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, what a great promise from Jesus, isn't it? That he wants to help us to relieve our burden to him and allow him to carry us through those times. I sought the Lord. Boy, that seems elusive at times. You know, we tend a lot of times to lean on our own understanding. We tend to try to figure things out or calculate things or in various things like, okay, finances, I've got a struggle or I've got a debt or I've got a load. And so how am I going to make it? And I start to calculate my income and my expenses and I go and do this and I figure this out. And that's all good and necessary. Believe me, trust me, you got to have good stewardship. But why not take it all before God first and say, God, I've got an issue. I've got a debt. I've got trouble or I'm not making ends meet. And God, I just want to lay this out before you and then allow God to fill us with that peace and the wisdom to steward it well and to help us. Because sometimes we need an a spiritual intervention from God. You know, sometimes it is too much. Sometimes there's just no way to figure it out or to get the resource. We need God. And so God wants us to partner with him and allow him to teach us and strengthen us through these times of obstacle in our lives. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. And I love this life for two verses for me. These are the two that I first was given when I got my first Bible written in when I became a Christian from a spiritual mother. And I've held to these two verses, and really they are key in life because they remind us that we are to trust God with all of our heart, with the whole, with every aspect of our life. You know, no part we sort of segregate from God. We want to include God in all of our heart, in all of our life. And we don't want to lean on our own understanding, which really means I don't want to support myself against my understanding, because my understanding is limited. And trust me, when you're talking about me, it's very limited. You know, I don't want to lean on my own understanding, but I want to lean and acknowledge and trust in God. That word acknowledge really means to know, be aware. It's being aware of his ability. You know, I know that even though God may not answer me the way that I think he should, that God has my best intentions at heart. And that God has the ability and God can help me in any time of need. And I love that idea of seeking the Lord and not sort of tending to lean on my own understanding. Again, we do steward, but we want to partner with God because God has all of the aspect of what we're going through. And he also sees our future and he knows what's ahead for us. You know, when it comes to everyday clothing and daily needs, and I dare say in this last year of COVID-19, that a lot of people are discovering and hopefully discovering that we can't just rely on things that we have or the way to get those things, that we have to rely on God. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all the other things will be added to you, because God's not going to leave you deserted. You know, you may, you know, lose your job. You may face troubling times. You may face spiritual warfare in your life. But in all of those things, God doesn't leave us. You know, we can seek him. We can go to him. And God will help us and work with us and get us through. So many scriptures about this. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. God's not going to hide. You know, we call upon him. We sang it today. You know, I will call upon the Lord. And Lisa and I just seemed to click today. with our song choices and what God was saying to us, how important it is in all the lessons in this year that we learn to seek God and we do it diligently. You know, that word diligently seek in the language really means to look early or diligently towards. So to look early. Again, don't lean on our own understanding, but right away involve God. Right away involve God in our lives. And that's the beauty of every day, starting a day with just a few moments to just acknowledge God and to seek God for those moments before our day begins. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. I love this verse. I love it because it reminds me to seek the Lord and His strength, not my own. And it reminds me also that I should continually seek His presence. I should take time always, continually, to just spend moments and times with God and love and enjoy Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, I dare say, and I hope that we're learning more and more not to do this, but you know, I dare say that a lot of times we'll seek God for moments and we don't get it consistently into our lives and we don't give our whole heart to God. You know, be giving our whole self to God and yielding ourselves and submitting to God really is an unknown because we don't know what God's going to ask of us. But it's so important to remember that God is only going to ask us to commit to Him what He will see us through with. And it'll never be more than we could ever handle. Matthew 7:7-8 says this, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and the one who seeks is going to find, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Again, a promise of God that He's going to partner with us. He's going to intersect with our lives, and He's going to help us and see us and use our lives for His glory. Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You know, I think you've heard this from me before, and I want to just reiterate this today. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. There's a lot of stuff out there about COVID-19 and a virus and conspiracy theories, and there's just endless stuff going on about it. You know, I would say to all of us that probably the most important thing is that we would remember who we do know. You know, we don't know all the facts, and we don't know it's fiction sometimes, and we get it all messed up. But the bottom line is we know God. We know God. And I want to say to us that in this season of COVID-19 in this year, that I believe that God is calling His church to put our eyes on Him. That I believe God is calling us to begin to really take seriously the things that we need to do in our life to honor Him. That I believe God is using this opportunity to help us to focus on Him. And you know, all of the worship that we do in church and the preaching we get and the fellowship with one another is great. It's necessary. It's needed. God has given it to us as tools to draw near to Him. But it can't replace knowing Him. And I believe that God is using this opportunity to strip us of all these things so that we will turn our eyes and our attention and we will begin to seek Him. So that seeking Him will not just be in trouble, but seeking Him will be because we love Him. And we need Him, and we want Him, and we have a passion for Him, and we're getting to know Him. And that knowledge will just begin to take root in our lives. I believe that's what God is wanting from the church, and from your life, and from my life. I truly believe that with all my heart, that this is an opportunity that we can't waste or look away from. And you know, the beauty is that we do that and we begin strengthening in our spiritual life and our foundation with Christ as we've sought God, that when we come together again and this place is full of people and we have joy and we're dancing and clapping and singing, you know, and celebrating God and we're fellowshipping with one another and we've got coffee and we've got the baked goods and we're having a great time together, we're going to love it even more because it'll amplify what's already taking place in our heart and in our lives. We need to seek God. Seek God with all our hearts because God has our future already ordained. God will take care of us. No matter what we face, God is with us and He won't forsake us. And we need to know and have that assurance that we can come before God. You know, Isaiah 40:31 says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength." It will happen as we seek the Lord and wait on Him. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. Oh, we need Jesus in our lives. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to be strengthened in our lives. That word wait on the Lord, wait, means to eagerly wait. And it carries the implication of expectancy. You know, when we go before God to seek Him, we expect that God is going to meet with us, and we expect that we will gain strength, and that we expect that we'll gain perspective, and that we will expect that God will hear us and answer us and help us and strengthen us and do something wonderful in our lives, even through the most crucial and hard times that we are going through. Now, I know that not all of us are wired to wait. You know, it's not like all of a sudden, well, I can be still. You know, when I'm an active person and have an active mind, I can often be my worst enemy. And I'm one of those people that has to work at waiting and being quiet and listening to God. You know, it's something that it takes discipline and development in our lives. We need to constantly be doing it. And you know, if you haven't done it and you don't really know what it's like to wait or be still before God and listen and have God responding in your life, then you have to take time to do that and to get it into your practice every day. And you don't need to go for the jugular. You know, all of a sudden, well, okay, I'll do 4 hours a day. It probably won't happen. You'll probably fail. But why not take small chunks of time and begin to build them into your life? And then you'll find, I guarantee this, you'll find that you'll start to grow and desire it more and more and more. And spending more and longer times will become something that's more natural as time goes on. And God will help you, and the Spirit of God will draw you to those times. But we have to willfully choose to set time apart to be with God. We have to decide that. David in our text says, "I sought the Lord." He made a decision. He did that willingly by His will. And we have to make those decisions. Is this important enough? Do I need God enough that I will do that constantly in my life? There has to be consistency. And we got to start sometime. And if you don't do that right now, practice that. Why not start that? You know, don't put it off. You know, make a time today or by tomorrow. Start it into your routine and just begin to do little bits to practice what it means to seek the Lord. You know, press in sometimes. Often I think we ask God for things, but then we forget that sometimes it takes a little bit of pressing in and a little bit of time of continually praying it through until we feel a release or that God has answered. And sometimes we give up too soon, but we need to continue to persevere and seek God for the answer that we need in our lives. And we need to read and meditate on God in the Bible because He speaks to us through His Word. You know, incredibly lots. And that's why it's important to, you know, something I just learned to do more now is to journal, write down what I feel God is saying. Even though I think it might be for me, I write it down. And I go through it a bit with God and ask questions about it to see what God might be wanting to say to me in my life. These are all practices. They're all little things. And there's a lot more we can do. And I'd love to teach you some of those things. And I'll do that in the next while. But, you know, just how do I hear from God? How do I know when God is responding to me? And when is God speaking to me? These are important things. And some people, it's very natural, and they love to wait on God, and they can be still before God, and they've done it for a long time. And you know who I'm talking about, some in this room and some on camera today. But what a privilege, eh? What an honor to be able to spend time with God, the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's amazing that God would invite us to seek him and to know him and to know that he says, we'll find him. He won't hide from us. That's an amazing honor and privilege. And boy, that we would take him up on his offer more and more and more and not do it in our own strength, in our own understanding, in our own way. You know, at the end of these two verses, you know, he says, you know, that you'll never be ashamed. You know, you'll never be ashamed. The word it goes in verse 5 is they looked to him and were radiant, and their face will never be ashamed. You know, in the Hebrew here, literally ashamed means this: disappointed at not finding what you hope for. You will not be disappointed at not finding what you hope for. Because whether God answers you exactly the way you're asking or whether he does it a different way, you'll never be disappointed, because God will always come through. He will always come through in some way. He will always come through in some time. But he will never not just ignore you. And that's what David is talking about here. He says, I sought the Lord, you know, because I know that I'll never be disappointed at what I hope for. You know, and God, sometimes when he wants something different for us from what we're asking, he will work that out as we seek him, and our desires will change and come in line with his, because God has our best intentions at heart. John 15:7 says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. I used to think that was pretty awesome. You know, I could ask whatever I want and God will do it and he'll give it. But you know what's funny about prayer and about seeking God is that I might want something going in and think I need something going in, and maybe I think it's the best intention for me going in. But sometimes God changes my heart when I am seeking him, and I get whatever I ask, but sometimes it looks a whole lot different, and I begin to ask differently as I seek him, as God changes my heart and gives me the understanding that I need something different. That's just an amazing God, isn't it, who wants to help us and work with us. Do you want to be like David this morning, if you're not already? Would you like to be able to say in your heart, I sought the Lord? I'd like to encourage you. Make that a model for your life in the next while. And don't necessarily have to seek God for, again, for something that you're going through, some need you have, you know, something that's pressing on you. You're going to find more and more as we go before him, it turns from that, and it really becomes about wanting to just love him and just enjoy his presence and getting that incredible joy just from being with him. And you know, God has done so much for us that we would just take time to seek him and appreciate him and love him and thank him and be generous in our praise towards him, just simply because of who he is and knowing that he's everything and he is our rock and our confidence and our fortress. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sing any part of this old hymn, but I was reflecting on this when I was thinking about verses 4 and 5 here. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. take it to the Lord in prayer. That's a powerful words of an old hymn. And I believe that's something we struggle with a lot in our lives. We often, you know, wrestle with things and carry things ourselves, when often God is just saying, here I am. Come. Come. Let's take time in our lives to seek the Lord. Spend time just bringing our stuff to Him, but also just to spend time with the one who loves us and has given all to us. I hope you're encouraged, church. I'm going to ask Lisa and the gang. They're going to come and lead us in a song here. And you don't necessarily have to even sing the words. What I would like us to do this morning is just to take a little bit of time, you know, this 4 or 5 minutes, and just enjoy Jesus. Let's just enjoy Him. Let's come before Him and just seek Him with our whole heart and give Him a few moments and just respond to what the Spirit is saying to you personally, and I will do that for me. You know, where are you in your life of seeking God and trusting Him? And, you know, of leaning on Him instead of your own understanding. Where do you sit in all of that, and where do I sit? You know, let's just, in any situation, wherever we're at, let's come before Him in the next few moments and just let Him know how much we need Him and how much we do trust Him. And if you do have a care today or a burden, you know, if you have anything in your life that's really tough right now, and I know there are some of you that's where you're at, why don't you just tell Him? Tell Him what you're going through. He already knows, but He wants to hear it from you. And just surrender those things to the Lord this morning. Let's just give God the opportunity to strengthen us in these few moments and draw us towards Him. The Lord bless you.
Just reflecting on the words of that song, and I had like a bit of a thought, and I just want to share it. But if you profess your faith as a Christian and a Christ follower, it's not because you figured it out, it's because God revealed Himself to you. And when that happens, we see who we are. We see our brokenness and our sin for what it really is in light of His holiness and righteousness and justness. And we get this idea of we actually need Him. And it's not that we need His blessings or His, you know, miracles. It's that we need His forgiveness and we need His righteousness that He gives to us. And we have this moment where He's revealed Himself to us, and we understand that we just need Him. And then we go through the motions of life and things change and we face different seasons. But as we're singing this song, I'm like, God, I want to believe that I just need You and that nothing else matters. And maybe some of you have been living this journey longer than me and you're, you know, more sanctified. And you can say that. You can say nothing else. Just You. But I don't know that I can. Like, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, nothing else matters but You. Well, and this other thing, like, I still kind of want this other thing. And so I think for myself this week, you know, seeking the Lord and knowing that I'll find Him is sometimes, like, well, I know that if I seek Him, I'll find Him. But if I find Him, He's going to want something for me. And then it's not, Jesus, I just want You. And this thing, it's Jesus, I just want You. And so I would challenge you, name whatever your pluses are and just ask Him to take them, because that's hard and we can't do that on our own. And some of you have journeyed well and you're there and you can like call and encourage us, but I'm not there yet, and maybe you're not either, and that's okay. But name them and just tell Him, like, you know, I don't just want you and this success, or I don't want you and to be, you know, any of these things that are good, but that are on top of him. And so it's got to be Jesus. We just want you because of who you are. And then in the midst of that, help me to lift that out for you. Help me to continue to seek you so that I don't keep adding things on top, but I just remember who you are. I know who you are more. And just falling in love with God and his holiness and his righteousness. And yeah, sometimes that makes us uncomfortable because we're not holy and we're not righteous except for what he gives us. And that's okay. Just keep going back to him. Keep seeking him. Keep finding him. And don't do it alone. You know, Noreen last week said, call someone, pray for them. Today we said, you know, message Veronica, let us call and pray with you. Call the office this week. You know, Pastor Rich and I want to pray with you. Call a friend. Say, hey, on Sunday, I just felt like God was saying this to me. Will you pray into this with me? Don't do it alone. So God, we just commit these words to you, that we just want you. We want to seek you for who you are alone. God, we know that we will find you. And sometimes that scares us. But God, that should encourage us and give us hope that you're calling us to something more. We need something more. We need hope beyond our systems and our policies and our health. We need hope beyond today and tomorrow, God. We need a hope that only you have given us in Jesus. So this week, would your Holy Spirit just reveal to us, when we say nothing else but you, those things that maybe are attached to that we don't want to deal with, or that we are afraid to give up. God, increase our trust in you. You're so faithful. Help us to just lean into that. Help us to be different. Help us to not look the same as where we were today or yesterday or a year ago. Help us to grow in you because of who you are. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that your ways are good, even when they don't make sense. Jesus, we just trust you. And in your holy, powerful name, we pray this. Amen. Amen, church. Be blessed this week. Call someone.